Sign up for the Slatist to get the most insightful analysis, criticism, and advice out there, delivered to your inbox daily. People have worried about artificial intelligence destroying humanity since AI existed only in science fiction. But the latest warning comes from someone worth listening to, a researcher at Anthropic, which makes the chatbot Claude just quit out of fear that the industry is barreling toward creating AI systems that could bring about Armageddon. Who is this guy? Until yesterday, Jacob Coxon trained Anthropic's new AI models. He previously worked for OpenAI, a competitor behind ChatGPT, but left earlier this year because Anthropic has a reputation for caring more about AI safety. Yet the 27-year-old Coxon ended up disappointed. "Neither company is acting responsibly," he wrote on X yesterday. "They are racing straight to self-improving superintelligence and gambling with our lives." Why does he think AI is dangerous? The fear is that AI models could get so sophisticated that they exceed human intelligence, a possibility known as artificial superintelligence. An AI that can refine its own code, what experts call recursive self-improvement, could also outsmart human efforts to control it. Some researchers worry that a sufficiently advanced AI could evade human oversight and cause catastrophic harm by, say, launching cyberattacks on critical infrastructure or designing chemical weapons. Do others share Coxon's concerns? He's part of a wave of warnings about unchecked AI systems, including from leading industry players. Anthropic hasn't commented on Coxon's departure, but company CEO Dario Amodei keeps warning about out-of-control AI models. Earlier this year, an Anthropic researcher who worked on AI safety quit, arguing that the world is in peril. Even some current employees seem worried. "We really do earnestly believe AI could kill all humans," wrote Evan Hubinger, an Anthropic researcher who puts the odds of that happening within the next decade at more than 10%. "Okay, now I'm scared. What's the smart counterargument?" Some critics think apocalyptic language amounts to a sick form of marketing from AI insiders who want to tout their models' power to investors. Others argue that the concerns themselves are overblown, noting that intelligence doesn't always manifest as a will to dominate. Even if those critics are right, it doesn't mean that AI is an unalloyed good. The technology might still eliminate jobs, manipulate or mislead users, or automate away forms of expression that used to be exclusively human. Still, that's different from an existential threat, and it's even possible that the technology's benefits could outweigh its risks. Hugh, but if I take Coxon's concerns seriously, is AI really getting close to being able to threaten humanity? Some models are already rivaling human capabilities, like solving math problems that had frustrated flesh and blood experts for years, even if some of those feats are actually less impressive than they seem. They're also acting more sinisterly. Prompted by users, chatbots have described how to make and deploy biological weapons. Over the summer, AI agents created by OpenAI autonomously broke containment, gained internet access, and hacked a rival AI company. Other AI agents attacked OpenAI itself, getting high-level access to some of the company's computers. Anthropic's Claude also escaped a test environment, got online, and hacked into other organizations' computer systems earlier this year. Yikes! But stopping industries from harming the rest of us seems like a task for the government. Some AI insiders agree. Coxon, Amodei, and Hubinger were among the nearly 1,400 industry employees who recently signed an open letter urging the U.S. government to support an international effort to develop the technical and governance tools needed to deliberately pace the frontier of automated AI development. The watchword of those efforts, pacing, essentially means putting rules in place that would give companies more time to design AI guardrails. So will that happen? So far, it hasn't. Congress has sometimes taken decades to enact rules for other revolutionary technologies, from electricity to airplanes. And even as their executives warn of world-ending risks, AI companies have broadly resisted regulation. Super PACs aligned with the industry have spent millions to defeat lawmakers who want to strictly regulate AI. The Trump administration, meanwhile, has worked to block states from setting their own AI rules because it sees the technology as critical to the U.S. competition with China. But if AI companies are worried about what they're building, Couldn't they just stop? Good question. Unfortunately, some of the people warning about AI have also talked themselves into continuing to work on it. Samuel Marks, another Anthropic employee, posted this morning that Coxon's concerns are broadly shared. But then Marks explained that a mixture of commercial incentives and a belief that they are in a race with other, less responsible AI developers that will abuse the technology or develop it less safely, keep him and others in the biz. That logic is a one-way ratchet toward greater AI risk. So are we just doomed? Not necessarily. Maybe the risks are overstated. Maybe more employees will quit, forcing AI companies' hands. Maybe voter anger over AI data centers will compel Congress to act. Humanity, after all, has created rules governing other potentially world-ending technologies. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal, Coxon likened AI development to the Manhattan Project, the U.S. effort that built the first atomic bombs. On the other hand, a government, not private companies, made that breakthrough. And nukes can't decide to detonate themselves. Nothing gets the pulse pounding like an existential threat to humanity. So, if you're in need of some relaxation this evening, my colleagues recommend. A dispatch from a dramatic tennis match. This year's U.S. Open has been exceptionally action-packed. So much so, in fact, that the match between Ben Shelton and Carlos Alcaraz was the latest finishing match in the tournament's history. The spectators who stuck around, including Josh Levin, were treated to a litany of scenes you don't typically see at a Grand Slam tennis match. Josh pulls back the curtain to reveal what he saw inside Arthur Ashe Stadium at 3 a.m. a podcast. About podcasts, it's time to get a little meta. Decoder Ring, Slate's podcast about cracking cultural mysteries, turns its investigatory powers inward to explore what exactly a podcast is these days, as more and more shows pivot from audio to video. A look back at a former hipster paradise. In the 2010s, the Brooklyn neighborhood of Williamsburg became the epicenter of the hipster boom, with hordes of flannel-clad, IPA-sipping, indie art-loving millennials who flocked there for its cheap rent. Now the neighborhood has undergone another transformation. Steffi Kau investigates how Williamsburg became overrun with tech bros. A retro road trip challenge. Road trips were more fun in the 90s, argues Dan Coys. Back then, they were a fount of car games, sing-alongs, impassioned debates, and wistful dreaming out loud. So, in this week's installment of Party Like It's 1996, Dan challenges you to hit the open road. No podcasts, AirPods, or map apps allowed. Okay, that's it for me. We'll be back tomorrow to, barring major news, take a good hard look at who's going to the Senate. Till then.